And the new focus of the party was, it was to reformation to British democracy, hence the name Reform UK. And it was campaigning for changes in the electoral system and the structure of the House of Commons. And it gained huge popularity for being quite outspoken for its anti-immigration sentiment. And after we were seeing the Conservative government that were in power trying to come up with schemes to control immigration, and it was a scheme called the Rwanda scheme, basically taking immigrants and flying them out. And after that, and that scheme not really meeting the public's wants, they were very outspoken about they were going to crack down on immigration and they were going to get it under control, which appealed to a lot of British people. And it was gaining traction by attracting former Tory voters, because there was seen a trend of less public trust in the Conservative Party. So when the election was announced, the Reform UK party kind of saw a way in of they would appeal more to the former Tory voters who no longer trust the Tory party. Those were the votes that were up for grabs. And the Tory party as well just had many issues, which we did talk about slightly last week, since 2016, that has led to the big mistrust from the public in them. So there was issues with the Brexit deals, with politicians not following COVID-19 pandemic rules and regulations, and the Partygate scandal, and economic reforms that were worsening the economy, as well as we saw 5 prime ministers in 5 years. However, when you look at the Reform Party, especially if you look online, there are a lot of articles talking about how there were many candidates for the Reform Party that were dropped over very severe anti-immigration comments online that were bordering upon racial discrimination and racist remarks. And a lot of them, they're very horrific quotes, and I've written a couple of them down. One was from Beau Dade, who was the South Swindon candidate, and they were immediately dropped by the party, where their quote was, "The end game is to be in a position to re-migrate hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of people back to their countries of origin. This is just one more unfortunate horror which the leftists and globalists and traitors have forced upon us." And there were many comments along those lines with this tone of anti-immigration and anti-immigrant sentiment. There were quotes that were anonymous, which I've also noted down for you. Have a look around, proper England, you know what I mean, proper English. Bring back the noose. When you are a foreigner in your own country, if you say hello to anyone, they look like they're about to knife you in the face. And all of these comments have been linked to either voters that are supporting the party or politicians within the party, that the majority of them have been subsequently dropped from the party. But the comments of this nature, and alongside its pro-anti-immigration policies and the amount of support that party has gained recently, is honestly quite terrifying, with so many extreme personal views creating this underlying foundation of a strong hate and discrimination to all immigrants in the UK, which is going to have lasting, drastic effects to both our political situation and just the UK as a whole within society, which we've seen with how prominent violence has been and hatred towards immigrants and Muslims and just a lot of racial hate in England at the moment. And if we take a look now at Germany, who have been seeing quite a shocking rise these past couple of weeks in far-right populism, there is the most popular right-wing populist party has been since 2013 the Alternative for Deutschland party, the AfD, and it's grown in popularity particularly in Eastern Germany because there is a lot more economic dissatisfaction and immigration fears. and their stance has gotten a lot more radical, advocating for Germany to exit the EU and to exit NATO, which is the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, a intergovernmental military alliance. And the party's popularity rise has been linked to internal disputes and policy debates inside Germany's ruling coalition at the moment. And it's just eroded the public trust in the traditional parties, and that's led to a rising support in the AfD. And very recently, in the past 2 weeks, there has been a real, like, prominent support for the party, with them on the verge of winning the most votes in German state elections for the first time since the Nazis did in World War II. Because the preliminary results are showing the AfD to lead with 32.8% of the votes of one of the state elections. Just going to see if I can find out which one it was. Yes, so they were, the far right were taking the lead in Thuringia. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. And they were very close to taking the lead with about a 1% difference in Saxony as well. And what I believe was a catalyst for this rise has been that 2 weeks ago there was a knife attack in Solingen. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right either. But this knife attack, it killed 3 people and left 8 people really seriously injured. And the attacker was a Syrian asylum seeker and suspected Islamist. And because of that, it has really fueled the criticism of how the government is handling immigration and immigration in Germany as a whole, creating a very hostile and tense atmosphere. And many people who support the AfD do say that it's not, they're supporting the party not just because of the anger they have towards the mass immigration and towards immigration or immigrants as a whole that they see, but it's more about the divide in the industrial base and wages and pension inequalities between West and East Germany, where East Germany is feeling overlooked compared to West Germany as they do not have the same infrastructure and resources. And that is leading, apparently, that is what a lot of the supporters are saying is why they support the AfD party. Whether that's true or not, we'll probably never know, but there was a BBC investigation into the AfD party, and it was finding, well, it found clear links between party figures and networks that were deemed extremist by state authorities, with a state party leader recently, I believe that his name is Bjorn Hoek, or Hoek, not sure how you pronounce it, but he was recently fined for using a Nazi slogan, even though he denies it, he was fined for it, with the party also being seen to validate xenophobia and anti-Semitism, which majority of the leaders of the state leaders of the party embrace. And in February 2020, there was a conspiratorial meeting of a dozen right-wing extremists that agreed to launch attacks on mosques in Germany in order to trigger a civil war. And that was only 4 years ago. And then a year prior to that, in 2019, you're seeing the city council of Dresden passing a motion declaring a Nazi emergency to signal that there is a serious problem with the far right in the city. So you're seeing really current surge in far right and far right populism, and it's been a growing problem and it's been stewing for decades, but we're just seeing the more drastic rise of it now with a more stark increased rate of immigration due to conflicts that are across Europe that are causing people to flee the country because of unsafe environments. To name the most recent ones, which I'm sure everyone knows about, you've got the Ukraine conflict with Russia and Palestine and Israel conflicts happening. And those are just the more recent ones, with other, like, there's other historic ones with, like, we touched upon last week. that are also causing mass immigration towards European countries. And we spoke about this as well on Intravenous this week, or yesterday, slightly, with this organization called the Rainbow Railroad, particularly for two-spirit LGBTQIA plus people who are fleeing their countries that are in, because they're so violent and there's so much unrest and so much conflict that it's not safe for them. And they flee to countries like the States, Canada, the UK, because it is safer here, which is now causing these places to be slightly less safe for them than probably their home countries as well, with this rise in far-right populism. And if we now take a look at France, they had a general election this year as well, which saw a very stark rise again in their far-right populist party. So their populist radical right-wing party is France's National Front, and it was renamed in 2018 to the National Rally. And it is predominantly concentrated around issues of anti-gay marriage and anti-gender theory. And the party was formed back in 1972, and it had a reputation for xenophobia and anti-Semitism, with it had ties actually to Nazi collaborators and extreme nationalism. And more recently, it did try to rebrand for a softer approach, focusing more on economic protectionism, national sovereignty, and having, the way they worded it, a strong anti-immigration stance. And this was so they could attract more support to the party and take a step away from their previous representation. And with the recent French legislative elections, it highlighted a huge shift in the country's political landscape, with a huge rise in support for the National Rally. It saw a win in the first round of the legislative elections. However, it did come third with 142 seats in the final round. It was beaten by the left-wing alliance, who secured 188 seats. I think it's called the New Popular Front. However, they have a hung parliament as a result of that, because no party actually got majority seats. And even after that first round of legislative elections in France, seeing the far-right party win by quite a significant margin, there was a surge in violence and threats against political opponents and marginalized groups, which just gives you a small insight as to what could potentially happen if these parties get in power, because that is just after winning the first round. They didn't actually get in power. And it reflects the wider trend of increased assaults that are motivated by race, religion, homophobia, transphobia, all of the rise in hate crimes. And the National Rally as well has a specific promise to France to bar dual nationals from state-sensitive jobs. And that on its own highlights how deep the racism and discrimination is going, and how it is an underlying fuel for the far-right populist parties across Europe and in France as well, with this being their party. And far-right ideologies are becoming way more mainstream, and they're being promoted way more to young people because the media amplifies this racist rhetoric, and it sensationalizes the immigration issues with its headlines. And it portrays immigrants and refugees and Muslims to be a threat to national security and economic stability. And it uses this to create this moral panic in society, where they're already an isolated group off the bat, with how the media portrays them all, to create this fear around them and just around them all, even those that were born in England. And the National Rally as a party has also been seen, similar to the AfD, to capitalise on xenophobic sentiments and emphasise strict immigration controls. So across Europe, currently, we're seeing over the decades and now this gradual normalization of the far right and of far right populisms, particularly in the two major European states, France and Germany. They're seeing such a resurgence in the far right, as well as a surge in violence from supporters of far right parties. So we're seeing in the UK as well, this rioting with British-born people protesting with Union Jack or England Cross flags, and they're storming buildings that house asylum seekers. They're throwing stones at mosques, they're looting shops, they're setting fire to police cars, and they are stabbings in Germany. There is a quick call, so I'm just gonna play a song for you guys, and then we will come back to talk a bit more.
Yeah.
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, and I am Rebecca, and we have just been talking about the rise in far-right populism in Europe that we see currently, as well as its sort of history. And we were just finishing up talking about how we are seeing a gradual normalization of far-right populism, particularly in France and Germany, and we're also starting to see it in the UK. And particularly in the UK, with what we have seen this year with rioting, there has been a lack of a cohesive nature to it with the rioting and its extremist views in the UK. And that's making the situation dangerous and unpredictable. And we're seeing that alongside a very steady rise in far-right extremism in Germany. And before I leave you all, I just want to leave you with a couple of questions to just think about. So from what we've spoken about last week and this week in anti-immigration sentiment and far-right populism, is what we're seeing mirroring past experiences that have had catastrophic impacts felt globally from war and conflict, particularly with like Nazi Germany and anti-Jewish sentiment and hatred that was spread? Are we looking at sort of a similar result, perhaps, if no action is taken to resolve this surge of violence and hatred that is being seen? Are we looking at potentially another world war? Like, what are the going to be the ramifications of a resurgence in far-right populism in Europe? And what are the effects that are going to be felt worldwide? And just a reminder of that song that we just heard about 2 minutes ago. That was the AKA Downstream single off the album Alien Radio by Keegan Powell. That is an album I discovered from the CJSF playlist that is curated by our music coordinator, and it is a Canadian artist who has been around since 2018. But Alien Radio is his most recent album. So I want to thank you all for tuning into my open mic on this lovely, wonderful, warm afternoon. And I hope you all enjoyed today's topic of far-right populism in Europe, as well as the Canadian Vancouver-based music I selected for you. As always, tune in next week for a new selection of music and a new topic for us to discuss, well, me to discuss to you. And stay tuned as we have Free Voices coming up next from 3 till 4 p.m. See you all next week.
Volunteering at CJSF 90.1 FM is a great experience and is easy to get started. So I'll tell you a little bit about it in the hope that you reach out. As this station is run almost entirely by volunteers, you have a variety of ways to get active at CJSF. Every department can use a little bit of help. Arts and entertainment. Well, you can write and produce reviews, conduct interviews of local musicians, the music library, acquiring, organizing, reviewing, and compiling charts. Public affairs. Interviewing groups, attending events, recording lectures. Public relations, postering, graphic design, and programming. You can host your own show or work on a collective. Production, audio editing, and PSA building. And once you feel comfortable, you can even volunteer to help the volunteers. So volunteer with us at CJSF 90.1. Email us at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca.
From its length, from all to all, and suddenly you fall.